Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Restoration Nazarene Church, where we encourage you to be the gospel today so that you can share the gospel tomorrow.
So this week, I got a traffic ticket. Yes, I got a traffic ticket this week. I was on my way to work, and I think most of you know that I teach at a Christian school, and so I'm on my way to work, and I'm deep in thought about life, and I'm deep in thought about all of my lesson plans for that day. So I'm driving to work, and this school that I teach at is right across the street from a public school. And so I'm driving down the street, and I turn into our school parking lot, and I go and park. And it wasn't until I parked that I noticed that there was a motorcycle cop following me with his lights flashing behind me. And so I had a mini freak out moment of, oh no, how long has he been following me? Did I run away? Is there backup coming to chase me down? I had no idea. So I stop, and then he walks up, and you know, the typical, give me your license, registration, insurance card. So I hand it over, and he tells me that he pulls me over because I was driving too fast in the school zone. He says that in the school zone, the moment you hit the first traffic sign, you must be going 15 miles an hour or less. And he said that he clocked me at 24 miles an hour at this. Now let me paint you a picture of this drive to my school. So I'm gonna go down this street, and so the sign is probably here where Luther is sitting, and where I turn into the parking lot is maybe where Amy is, maybe a little bit more. So logically think about this. If I'm driving down the road, this is the moment that I would have to start slowing down, if not prior to that anyway. And so he pulls me over because apparently I was going 24 in this. And now in my mind, I'm thinking, was I really going that fast? I mean, yes, I wasn't really paying attention, but come on, I was turning into my own parking lot. So he's walking through all this. Now, I was really nice. I was calm with him, but my mind immediately went to all the different strategies that I could beat this in the courts. I'm thinking, hey, if I show up, I have a right to face my accuser. So if he doesn't even show up, I win the court case right there and I don't have to pay anything. And then if he does show up, I'm thinking in my mind, well, how can he prove how fast I was going? And he'll probably tell, well, I clocked it on the gun. And I'm like, okay, but this is my mind anyway. I'm thinking, well, when was the last time you had your gun certified? Show me proof that it is actually operational is where I was headed with this. And if all of that failed, then I was pretty confident that I could convince the judge that the fact that I was coming into a turn, I wasn't going very fast, and he didn't even give me a warning. And I can't remember the last time I got a ticket at all. My license is clean and no warning whatsoever. But then I stopped and I went inside, and then I started thinking to myself, why was I thinking this way? Why was I immediately trying to beat this in the court? Where was that even coming from? Because the truth is, it was my fault. I was driving too fast in the school zone, and that is the law, and therefore I disobeyed. It was my fault. So why am I in my mind trying to fight this? And then I asked myself, is this really what Jesus would do? Is this the thing that we should do as Christians? And I'm sitting there trying to figure out, why did I even go that way? And then I realized that Amy and I, we've been watching this lawyer TV show. And in this show, they're always trying to find ways to win in the courtroom, regardless of if they are guilty or innocent. And what I realize is because we've been watching this, my first reaction was to fight it. This show that we have been watching was subconsciously shaping me. Have you ever experienced something like that? Maybe you're watching a scary movie, or a scary TV show, and then now every single noise that you hear in your house, you immediately think something bad is in the corner and you get scared. Or maybe you like to listen to podcasts about social justice, and so then the moment you hear about some injustice, your response in that moment is to then stand up and fight against this injustice. Or maybe you spend your time listening to or reading political news. And those that like politics, we all know that those from one party often bash the other party. And it doesn't matter what party you're in, they do it both ways. And so maybe you find yourself engulfed in politics, and now the moment you meet somebody of the other political party, you immediately think bad of them because, oh no, they're from the other political party. The majority of humans are influenced by the things that we focus on. I was influenced by this TV show that subconsciously shaped me, and it caused my first reaction to be about fighting against this thing, which is the opposite of what I should do as a Christian because it was my fault. And if we really are influenced by the things that we focus on, both consciously and also subconsciously, then what should we do as Christians? And the easy answer that many of you are probably thinking, the easy answer is, well, we should focus on Jesus more so that we are more like Jesus. But what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? How would you actually do that? And would that actually solve the problem that we are facing? Last week, we talked about building our spiritual house and how this is a journey that begins with purchasing a land, this land to purchase or this land to build a house on. And this land to purchase, it comes at a cost. This land, this grace of God, it cost Jesus his life in order to offer us this free gift, this opportunity to enter into a relationship with him. It cost Jesus his life. He offers us this grace, this way of life with him, and it's a free gift that Jesus offers us. But this free gift that Jesus gives us will actually cost us everything. It will require us to surrender everything to him. And we talked last week about how we should see the value of this gift, and it should be worth so much to us that we are willing to surrender everything in order to follow Jesus. And the next step, once we purchase that land, once we have this land, we've now surrendered, we've paid the price, we have this land, the next step in building this spiritual house would be to pour the foundation. We must level the ground, pull all the weeds, and pour this foundation. And this foundation is really important for the entire building. The foundation will influence the longevity of the house. And Jesus tells us this parable about the importance of this foundation in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus says, starting in verse 24, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built this house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." This parable, this made-up story from Jesus is about these two different builders. One that builds a house on rock, and another that builds house on sand. And obviously, the one that was built on sand came crumbling down because its foundation was weak. But if we pause to think about this for a moment, both the builders, according to Jesus in his made-up story, both of these builders were able to build their house. Meaning that the one that built it on sand was successful at first. The sand was at least strong enough to hold up the house, even if for just a little while. And then Jesus says that a great rain came down, and both houses were able to withstand the rain. And then the streams rose, and again, both houses were able to continue standing. But when the winds blew and beat against this house, that is the moment that the house built on sand came crumbling down. And the country that Jesus is teaching all of this in was a place where it was common for heavy rain to cause flash floods. And so when Jesus says that the streams rose, what he's talking about is a flash flood that would come, and everybody would have understood that at this time. So imagine for a moment, if this story was real, imagine that these two houses were neighbors. It was maybe on a beach, and the other is a little off from the beach, a little bit on the rocks nearby. And then a heavy rain comes, sending these flash floods through both of the houses. But both houses remain standing. From the outside, when you look at these two houses, both houses seem to be doing completely fine. But what we can't see is the damage that is caused underneath. Because from the inside, the one that is on the sand is in serious trouble. All of those flash floods begin to move the sand that is beneath the house. And you can't see it at first, but the house that is on sand is in serious trouble. I'm imagining playing a game of Jenga where everybody pulls the pieces out of the bottom, the foundation, and now the entire tower is starting to wobble. It is getting weak. And sure enough, the moment that the wind starts beating against the house, it comes crashing down. Why? Because its foundation was not strong enough. Your foundation will determine your future. Your foundation shapes you. Your foundation is what your entire house is built upon. And if you don't make sure that your foundation is strong enough, then outside forces have the power to determine your future. Outside forces have the power to shape you and to form you. If you don't make sure your foundation is strong enough, then Jesus says you are foolish. And he says that your house will come crashing down. And it may not happen right away. You may go throughout life building up this wonderful looking house, and everything might appear great from the outside. You might be happy. You might be doing really well while the sun is out, doing really well in your career, and everything by American standards, you are doing really well. But the moment the storms come, and they will come, you will not survive. And so then how do we build a firm foundation, a solid foundation? Jesus says in verse 24 that we read, he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock." So Jesus is saying that we must hear the words of Jesus and we must put them into practice. But then that begs the question, what are these words? This parable that Jesus teaches comes at the end of an extremely long sermon. And throughout this entire sermon, Jesus is teaching what it means to be a Christian. And he says things like, we must be peacemakers. We must let our light shine before others. We must do good deeds that bring glory to God. He says that we must be transformed in the heart, where we have all of the right intentions with everything that we do. He says we must love one another, especially our enemies. We care for those in need. He says we pray, we forgive people, we place our trust in God and God alone. He says that we seek first the kingdom of God. We don't judge people. And instead, we continually seek Jesus. And after walking through all of these teachings and walking through all of these words, Jesus then says, whoever hears these words and puts them into practice, they are wise. But these words, these commands to follow, are nearly impossible to do if we don't have Jesus Christ inside of us. Because these words go against everything in life. They go against all of our natural instincts. They go against what America says we should do and how we should live. They are nearly impossible to do apart from Jesus. And so the foundation then really is Jesus Christ. Christ is our firm foundation. He is our rock. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says that no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our foundation. And this verse in 1 Corinthians makes it clear that nobody can lay any other type of foundation. People can try. They can try to make their own foundation. They can try to do things on their own. They can try other religions or other spiritual teachers. But Jesus is the only foundation that will survive. And if, as we talked last week, if we've already purchased the land, meaning that we've already surrendered to Christ and we've offered our lives as a sacrifice, then Paul says that this foundation has already been laid for us. We don't have to lay the foundation. It has already been laid for us. And now we are ready to begin building our house. And the way that we begin to build this house is by putting into practice the things that Jesus says. In this chapter of Matthew, during the end of Jesus' sermon, he's summarizing all that he has said. And he makes two specific points right before our parable of building on a wise foundation. He makes these two points. First, he says that we must bear good fruit. And what that means is that we act like Jesus. We love our neighbor and we do good deeds. And the second thing we must do is that we must do the will of God. And so obeying Jesus means that we act like Christ and we do the will of God. But it's more than that. I strive really hard in my life personally to act like Christ. I try really hard to do the will of God, but yet I still find myself jumping to action against this speeding ticket. No matter how hard I try, I still find myself sometimes in life shaped based on what is happening around me. My natural reaction in that moment was to fight. And if it truly is enough for us to just act like Jesus and do the will of God, then why did I react the way that I did this week? Even though it was just internally in my mind, nobody knew about it. I didn't have to tell anybody about that. I could have just went on and pretended to be like this great Christian that says, yeah, it was my fault. Thank you, officer. I'll pay the tickets or I'll do driving school and everything will be fine. I didn't have to tell anybody. But why was that in my mind to begin with? Why would I jump to that? If I strive so hard to act like Christ and do the will of God, then why did that even happen? The answer is that there is more to this. than just choosing to act like Christ and choosing to do the will of God. We must do those things, but there is more. The truth is that we become what we focus on. And Scripture is filled with this truth. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind." Meaning that there are two options. We are either going to be conformed to the pattern of this world, or we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our choice is not between if we want to be formed or we don't. That is not the choice that we have. The choice is, what are we going to be formed by? Every single person is being formed at all times by all the things that are happening around us. Think about it. That cop gave me a ticket without warning. And so if I ever see him again, my brain is immediately going to assume that this guy never gives any grace. He is not a very graceful or gracious person. Or how about it if we go to a restaurant and we have one bad meal or one bad service experience with the waiting staff, our brain might immediately assume that the entire restaurant is bad. We might somehow in our brain, we might start to keep points, and now this restaurant is slowly losing its value. And so now the next time I'm forced with choosing this restaurant or another one, why would I go back to the place where I had a bad meal and bad service? That experience has now shaped my outlook of the entire restaurant as a whole, which isn't fair to the restaurant because of one bad meal and one bad server. Or if we experience trauma in life, then we are severely shaped by that experience. Or for example, if a friend were to give you advice, and then you act upon that advice, but that advice does not work out well, will you be inclined to go back to that person again for more advice? You wouldn't, because now you have been shaped in your mind by that experience that you just had. We are slowly, every day, we are being shaped and formed in our thoughts. There are so many clinical studies out there of people being brainwashed, which happens over a period of time where these individuals are shaped by those that are trying to control them. And those people, after being brainwashed, they are forever changed to believe whatever it is that they were told to believe. Or how about social media? Has anybody ever seen fake news on social media? No, never. I guess I haven't either. I can post on social media, I can post whatever I want to, regardless of how truthful it is. And that post could be shared, and now it goes viral, and people all over the world could now believe whatever it is that I said. They could now believe this false truth, and now they are going to be shaped by this lie that I just created by simply posting something. And if you think about it, how many people spend hours throughout their week scrolling through social media or flipping through videos on social media? Sometimes you're reading things that are true or watching things that are true. Sometimes you are not. And sometimes, most of the time in my opinion, they are half true and half false. People send me Christian things all the time of, is this really true? Does the Bible really say this? And I say, no, did you actually read the verse before you sent it to me? Because if you would have read it, you would have known that all they said that was true was one single word, but the entire verse was wrong. And so people spend hours going through social media, allowing it to influence them. And then our brain, over time, it struggles to remember what is true and what is not true. And the same is true for just turning on the news station. We are watching and listening to all of this stuff. And over time, our brains struggle to remember what is true and what is not. And so if we see something that is not all the way true, regardless of if we believed it then in that moment or not, the next time that we see or hear something similar to that, our brains, this is just how our brains work, our brains are going to say, oh, I remember reading that. So this must be true if I am hearing it a second time. And now we are shaped by that thing we spent 10 seconds reading. We are all shaped and formed. Our choice is not whether if we can be formed or not. Our choice is what are we going to be shaped and formed by? What influences are we going to allow to form and shape us? As Christians, we should be formed by Christ. We should be formed by Christ and into Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The second half of this verse says that we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So how are we formed? It happens in two parts. First, there is an action that we take. And Peter explains this really well in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. He says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. The way we do this, as Peter says, is by focusing our fully sober and our fully alert minds onto Jesus. We focus on him. We focus on the hope of Christ. We focus on God's will, and we avoid the evil desires that we once had or that still continually come up in us. We choose to be holy in all that we do. We choose to remain sober and alert, meaning that we are paying attention. Part one is our action. We must choose to focus on Christ more than we focus on the world. Part two is that we allow God to transform us. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It is God who is at work in us to bring us to a place of doing his will. It is God who can form us into his image. But we must be willing to allow God to do that. He won't force us. It is our active choice to allow God to do that. So we stay alert. We pay attention to how we are spending our time, making sure that we are focusing more on Christ than the world around us. And we allow God to continually transform us from the inside out. Our foundation is Christ. And upon this foundation, we must be like the wise builder that intentionally hears and practices the words of Christ to make sure that our house is being built up on a strong foundation and we can weather whatever storm may come our way. In this parable of Jesus that we read earlier, it is clear that a house is going to be built. Just like we don't have a choice in whether or not we are being formed, we don't have a choice in whether or not a house is going to be built or not. Our choice, though, is on what foundation our house will be built upon and what materials we will use to build this house. We can either choose to be like the foolish builder who doesn't listen to truth, who doesn't listen to reason, who is shaped and formed by the world, and whose house will eventually come crumbling down. Or we can be like the wise builder who chooses Jesus, who chooses to be shaped and formed by Jesus into Jesus. So if we are being formed by whatever we are focusing on, by whatever we are spending our time doing, then the question that I have for you this morning is, how are you spending your time? What things are you allowing to shape you, both consciously and subconsciously? What do you listen to in the car as you are driving? If you are being shaped by whatever you are listening to, by music or news or podcasts, then maybe try listening to worship music. Maybe try turning the Christian radio on. We have two great Christian radio stations that exist in the valley, Air One and Family Life Radio. Maybe try listening to Christian music for a little bit. Or how do you spend your break time when you're at work or you're at home in between doing something? You need a mental break. You just need to sit down for a moment. Or if you're sitting down, then you need to stand up for a moment. Get active, move around. How are you spending those breaks? Those moments where you just need a break? Are you scrolling through social media? Or are you playing a game on your phone? What do you focus on in those moments? And those things that you're focusing on, you should ask yourself, are they forming you into Christ? Or are they forming you into something else? What are you watching on TV? If I watch a lawyer show with Amy for a little while, I am then all of a sudden tempted to not accept responsibility for a traffic violation. And instead, I want to fight this. So if we are influenced by what we watch, whether or not we immediately recognize it, is what we are watching, is it forming us into Christ or is it forming us into something else? If you were to look at your average day from the moment that you wake up until the moment that you fall asleep, and you look at how your time is spent, what would you find if you were to put all of those things into categories of how much time you spend focused on this category or this category? How much time do you spend thinking about or doing your job during the day? How much time do you spend with family or on social media or other entertainment? How much time in your day do you spend with Jesus? And I know this one can be kind of hard for you non-mathematical brains to think about adding all of this up. And so I have an easier test for you. When you are with other people, coworkers, friends, family, even strangers, when you are with other people, what are your conversations mostly about? Whatever it is that you mostly talk about with other people, that is usually what you are being formed by the most. And not just what you are talking about, but also how you are talking about it. Someone could easily make the justification that they're talking about scripture with their friends because they're talking about all of the ways that these people are going against scripture and living in sin. But in reality, all they're doing, they're judging other people and then gossiping about that. So yes, they may be talking about Jesus. They may be talking about Christianity. They may be talking about scripture, but they are not doing it in a way that is forming you into Jesus. It's not always just what you talk about, but how you talk about those things. We must avoid being formed by the patterns of this world. That is what Scripture tells us. We must actively avoid being conformed to the patterns of this world. And instead, we must actively be transformed by Jesus and into Jesus. We must focus on building our house on the foundation of Christ. This means that we put Christ first above everything else in our life. We can't build half of our house on the solid rock foundation and half of the house on the sand. We must build everything on the rock that is Christ. And so I ask again this morning, how are you spending your time? What are you focusing on? And if it's not mostly Jesus, then what change do you need to make in your life to fix this? And start off small. We talk a lot and just the world talks a lot about how New Year's resolutions comes around and somebody wants to set this goal of I'm going to lose 50 pounds in the next month and I'm going to go to the gym every single day and spend 2 hours every morning. I'm going to wake up. They last maybe 2 days and then they give up. And so start off small. Don't set a gigantic goal that you will never accomplish. Start off small. Maybe you decide that your first step will be to only listen to Christian radio in the car. Or maybe instead of jumping on social media right when you wake up or right before you fall asleep, maybe instead you'll read the Bible or you'll do a little devotion. There are tons of apps out there that you can still be on your phone if you must be on your phone. And you can do a short little devotional the moment you wake up or right before you fall asleep. Or maybe instead of watching Netflix, you will instead watch Peerflix, which is the Christian version of Netflix. Start off with something small. Choose one thing that you can commit to, and then make a commitment to change that one thing for a month. And then after you do that for 30 days for that month, then find another thing that you can then change in addition to this one. Remember that we don't get to choose whether or not we are being formed, but we do get to choose what we are being formed by, which directly influences what we are being formed into. I would encourage you to choose Christ instead of the world. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I ask that you would give us the courage to choose you. I ask that you would give us the ability to choose you. God, your word says that when we are faced with temptation, you will always give us a way out. Sometimes it's a small voice in the back of our head. Sometimes it's physically a way out of a situation. So God, this morning I'm asking that you would open our eyes to how you are helping us. God, I thank you for the ways that you have shaped us in the past. I thank you for the ways that you have shaped my life, the ways that you have shaped the lives of those here today. God, I pray that you would continue to shape us, continue to work in us, continue to transform us. God, we're sorry for the times that we choose other things instead of you. We're sorry for not always desiring to focus on you. But in this moment, I am choosing you. Help me choose you. God, I'm surrendering it all to you. We thank you. And we pray all of this in your wonderful and mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We would love to continue the conversation and connect with you. Comment, like, subscribe, follow us on the socials at RNAS Church or our website, rnaz.church.